What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Austin Meyer Podcast, the show in which I interview amazing storytellers in all sorts of genres about how they craft the stories they tell. I hope you and your loved ones are safe and healthy and doing well during these extremely challenging times. And I want to thank you for continuing to listen to the show, supporting it, and supporting storytelling. I think storytelling is crucially important all the time, but especially in this time when we are socially isolated, being able to communicate through stories to people who are distant from us is an amazing way to stay connected. So it's something that I've really been thinking about recently. Today's episode on the podcast is going to be a little bit different than usual because I am not interviewing someone else. I'm actually running an episode of my friend Raul Espinoza's show called Say It Loud, in which I was the guest. So I'm going to run his interview of me. And Raul is an amazing photographer and filmmaker who runs a company called Live Loud. Live Loud does branded storytelling for companies all over the world. And when the pandemic hit, Raul, who's based in New York, took this shelter-in-place time to start a new show called Say It Loud, in which he reaches out to the people that he's met in his world travels to dig a little bit deeper on what drives them, what are their mission, what's their purpose, how did they get their start doing whatever it is they do. And I was honored a couple weeks ago to be a guest on that show. So in this interview, Raul and I talk about storytelling, how I got my start. We talk about what is one of the most profound moments I've ever had as a documentarian. And for those who have been listening to the podcast for a while, I hope it just gives you a little bit better sense of where I'm coming from these days and the goals I have for the future. So without further ado, let's jump into that interview from the Say It Loud show.
What's up, world? This is Raul with Live Loud coming at you guys again with another episode of Say It Loud. And really excited today because I have my man Austin here. Austin and I met recently at the end of last year. We were both part of the storytelling group that got sponsored to go out to China before all this stuff happens. We flew back before all this stuff went down. But we were in China as storytellers and working with the SDGs. So for those of you guys who don't know, the SDGs are the Sustainable Development Goals. And it's pretty much these global topics that really encapsulate what projects are, or environmental things or human rights, poverty, education, gender equality, 17 topics like that. And so we were one of the small group that to go over there and do some storytelling. What's up, Austin, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's a pleasure to be on the show. I'm loving it. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for tuning in, Rob. Why don't you get into this and let us know who you are and what you do on your side of the world.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks. So I work as a freelance documentary filmmaker and photographer. And I also host a podcast and where I interview amazing storytellers in all sorts of genres about how they craft the stories they tell. The types of films that I like to make, and I would say that the films are, you know, where my heart lies and where I spend most of my energy. A lot of the films that I make have a theme that is related to international health, development, and human rights. However, I do a lot of projects also domestically, back in my hometown, around the US. But all the stories that I strive to make, you know, I'm trying to often showcase either an issue that is underreported or shed light on an individual who I think the world could benefit from knowing. And so that's come in the form for me of doing stories about like the Syrian refugee crisis, doing stories about wildfire crises we've been having here in my hometown in Northern California. It's been showcasing these little profiles of individuals in rural Zambia who have never told their story. No one would ever know about this person, but that person has an inspirational story, an inspirational message that I wanted to bring to the world. So my work, you know, touches on a lot of different themes, but I'm always trying to shine a light on underreported issues or people who don't really have the platform to share their story.
Yeah. And one of the things that I love about your work, man, is that I could tell there's an interest in the human elements in all of these stories, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not just documentary about what was occurring or what happened or the problem at hand, but how the human element is experienced in that time, or the people that you document really kind of celebrate the human element of that side.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because I think there's a lot of documentary films that some of them are awesome, that the focus of the story is, let me bring you into this world that you never knew anything about. And that there's like a whole genre of documentary films that's like, look at this crazy thing you didn't know about. Yeah. And I enjoy those, but what's much more interesting for me is like digging real deep into that human emotion and exploring complex emotions. And so that's where I'm trying to develop as a storyteller, to be able to identify the stories where those kind of emotions are going to play out in real time. Mm-hmm. And then being able as a cinematographer, as a director, to film those and edit those scenes together in a way that shows that emotion in an authentic way.
Yeah. And I have to say that you working with people, I mean, I would call you in China, I would call you Network in Austin, because you're mixed with people, man. And it's really awesome to hear, because the thing that I really love about Say It Loud is that I've been spending time with people that I've met, either that I know extensively or that I met briefly, but I'm always hearing about something new from them and a side of them that I didn't know. And so I really enjoyed, one, collaborating with you out there in China, just to see how your mind works or how the storytelling, but then seeing or hearing your podcasts and seeing your work, that the imagery that you're creating and the whole intentionality behind it, it's really refreshing, you know? And I love it, because there's not enough of it going on and there gets to be so much more. So just a side note, if anyone out there that wants to network their business, this guy's the guy to talk to. Cool, man. So in this journey of really wanting to work people in their dynamics, because I know one of the other things that you do is you do improv stuff with people. Mm-hmm. And so there's multiple dynamics on how you work with the human element, how you work with your individual position, whoever that person might be, whether that be a company or the subject of your documentary, mm-hmm. or someone who you have on your podcast. Mm-hmm. Where did that human element interest come from?
Mm. You know, I think that the human element of telling stories really started to develop when, in my freshman year, when I was at Stanford University, I had really no idea what I was going to study. I originally thought I was going to study a major called human biology, because I loved this radio show or this podcast called Radiolab, which was all about human biology. But when I started taking classes in that, I realized I was so bored. So I was like, all right, let me hold off on that. Started exploring a bunch of different classes until I ended up taking a creative fiction class where we were writing fictional short stories. And I was completely blown away, completely captivated by this course. It was all I could think about that quarter. And that's when I realized that the reason I loved the show Radiolab, the reason I loved, you know, so many things in life were because of the stories that were being told, not necessarily the content of those stories, just really well-crafted stories. And I think studying fiction and studying creative writing really developed an interest in that human element or that human condition, because that was the way to create a story that came to life, to take something out of your imagination and create a full character. You have to spend a lot of introspective time, not only processing your own emotions as a human, but also like trying to create those in this imagined character. And so I spent so much time when I was, you know, studying creative writing at Stanford in that space, that by the time I went to my journalism program, where suddenly it was like, here's this inverted pyramid, here's the facts that you lay out in an article to tell a story, I was like, what is this? This, we're stripping away a lot of what I love about story. Mm-hmm. And then really a big epiphany for me in the journalism world was in 2015, I got this opportunity of a lifetime to travel and report with my journalism idol, whose name is Nicholas Kristof, and he's a columnist at the New York Times. Mm-hmm. I'd followed his work for so long, his books. I really admired his work. And he does a lot of reporting on that theme of international health development, human rights. And he and I reported on malnutrition and women's rights in India. We did reporting on human trafficking in Nepal, opioid epidemic in Baltimore. And what I noticed about him and his storytelling was how he used the individual as this microcosm to really shed light on a major problem or a major issue. And that's what made his reporting unique, is he found those individual characters. He went all the way to India and went all the way to this, you know, small town to find that one person that would make that story come to life. And it was so refreshing to see a journalist that uses that focus on character and the individual to tell broader stories. And so I've kind of used that creative writing background, the mentorship from him, and my interest in longer form filmmaking to go towards documentary, where I think there's more of an emphasis on character and more time to delve into that.
Mm-hmm. There's one thing that I really want to highlight with that as storytellers, the ability to put ourselves in that position, right? Or discover what that position might feel like. Not to assume or not to necessarily, for the lack of a better word, objectify what they are experiencing or what it is to be there, but to actually do the work in that empathy that puts us in that position of understanding what is occurring for them and being able to tell an accurate and authentic story coming from their place. I think that's something that's really necessary and crucial as storytellers. It's not until that you're mentioning it right now that we do this with our clients, right? Like, I might have an idea of what I want to say about this story or how I want to go amongst this. But then to sit there in front of them and to actually do the work on putting myself in that position and then understanding what occurs so that the story could unveil is a whole nother set of skills.
And
doing documentary work like you're doing, I'm sure that must have been quite an experience to be over there. What was one of the most profound moments as a storyteller? It could have been from that journey or something else that really had you feel that you were aligned in your path.
In one moment as a documentarian that comes to mind when you ask that, that was a moment that I felt like this is the type of footage and this is the type of story that I feel so in alignment with, was in 2018, I got a grant from National Geographic to do a documentary film on maternal health care in sub-Saharan Africa. The film was focused in Zambia, which has very high rates of infant maternal mortality. And I went and lived there for 5 months with the goal of documenting two women, one in a rural village, one in an urban township, in the last months of their pregnancy through the delivery of their children, to explore some of the challenges that they faced having healthy deliveries. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was the most ambitious project that I had done to date, and I learned a ton in the process. But a single moment that really sticks out to me was, this was about probably 3 months into my 5 months, and I had been spending pretty much every day with one of these two families, just really starting to develop a relationship with them. And I remember I was in this kind of urban township with this couple named Annie and Brian. So Annie was one of the main characters who I was following, and she was 19 years old. She had just delivered her first child. And her husband Brian was 25. Their township was in the midst of a cholera outbreak at the time, and I was spending a lot of time in their home. And I remember this one moment where it was like early evening, sun's just starting to go down, it's kind of dark in their little home, and I remember Annie and Brian, they were just like being cute together. They were just like playing like little games where they're like holding each other's hand and trying to like slap each other's hand or like just like touching each other's noses. And I was just sitting there 5 feet away. And this scene didn't end up even making the final film because, unfortunately, in a heartbreaking move, I actually had to cut her part of the story completely out. to tell the best story possible that I could. But the reason that that moment sticks out to me is because it signifies that I had put in the time and effort and care to become normal in that environment, to kind of, that they had the trust to express playfulness and love to each other in this really intimate way right in front of me while my camera is rolling. That's when I knew, like, oh, this is what it takes to really get that authentic material that's going to come to life on the screen.
Yeah, that is so powerful, man. To be there and nearly be invisible, but so integrated in the experience that you personally aren't experienced outside of the situation. That's such a powerful tool as a storyteller. One, again, another reason why I really just enjoy your presence is not even just your work, it's your presence. It's because there's a permission that occurs, you know, even with the cameras out. And I know this as a storyteller, is that even with the cameras out, how do we create the permission for ourselves? And how do we create the permission for our subjects to be completely authentic as if the camera doesn't even exist there, mm-hmm. right? And to get to that point, man, it's a very powerful tool. And one thing that you were recently sharing with me yesterday was your story on maybe I might've been one of the first times you told the story. So tell us about that one, man.
Yeah. So my origin as a storyteller dates back to when I was in fourth grade. I was in Miss Wong's class. And I want to give a shout out to my amazing mother, who hopefully is watching the show. She was a journalist before she had kids. So I think she infused this story, love for stories, within me, probably even before I remember when she was reading to me as a baby. But when I was in fourth grade, Miss Wong had this policy. She was a strict one. She had this policy where if you got in trouble, you had to write a 5-paragraph essay that broke down what you did and why it was wrong. And I don't remember exactly why I got in trouble, but at some point I got in trouble in Miss Wong's class and was very upset at home when I came back from school that I was gonna have to write this 5-paragraph essay. I'm like, come on, this is like gonna take so much time. This is gonna be so boring. And my mom, bless her heart, was like, hey, Austin, let's do this. How about instead of writing just like a 5-paragraph expository analytical essay, let's write a 5-paragraph story. So I ended up writing this story about a squirrel who got in trouble in an analogous way to the way I got in trouble. And I ended up turning this into Miss Wong and she loved it. And I actually ended up getting encouraged by Miss Wong to go read this story to other fourth grade classes at the school. And I think that was probably like this little bit of celebration on the fact that like this situation that at the outset looked like it was going to suck suddenly ended up with like being celebrated. That was probably like this little piece of candy to propel me forward. But I mean, a lot of my skills, Raul, a lot of my skills with the camera, you know, it just comes from a place of play. Mm-hmm. It comes from making ridiculous music videos with my friends through middle school and high school. You know, and so that's why I'm so grateful today that I get to do this, because it really, you know, it might be cliche, but it doesn't feel like work. I still try to infuse that playfulness into everything I do. I feel just so grateful to do this.
Yeah. Play and purpose, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And there's some things that I know that you've done documentary work, like you were saying about fires that were going on in your communities or mm-hmm. some things that might be hard to hear, but in looking at the human elements and you being instilled on what you want to highlight or how you want to celebrate people, that's such an important aspect to really highlight that. Though it could be a disturbing story, it could be a hard story to listen to, what are the possibilities that could come from this story? How do I experience this or tell this story in a way that could evoke action in the way that actually creates the change that needs to happen? You know, mm-hmm. and that could be like really bringing in the harsh reality of what's occurring in other countries, what's occurring in our own homes, in our own hometown, to have people really shift over from sympathy to empathy. You know, it's something that it's only going on out there, but I experience it myself, and that dynamic change, man, I think opens up a world of possibilities.
Yeah,
and I love that. Again, you don't do that just behind the camera. It's in your interactions with your people, and it's with your improv and all that.
Thank you, man.
Cool, man. So what's your mission? What's the direction that you're going toward? Where do you see yourself growing into?
So long-term vision for myself, you know, I love the long form documentary space. And I would love to be in a place in the future where I'm working with small teams making feature length documentaries and documentary series at a high level as I possibly can. So that's kind of like career wise, the direction I want to go in, while continuing to practice as a photojournalist, writing and all those different forms so that I can tell stories at a high level in all these different forms. But really documentary film is where my heart is. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I like to say that my mission as a storyteller is to tell stories that change the way people walk through the world by inspiring curiosity, wonder, and empathy. Mm-hmm. So I think that even when, like you were saying, even when I report on very challenging topics, I think that I always want to infuse this with some sort of light. It might even just be the faintest light. Mm-hmm. But I think that even if it has just a faint light, it can make it approachable in a way that sometimes these stories aren't. You know, I think that the fact that my story that I did for National Geographic around the youth in the largest Syrian refugee camp in the world, like that story told, that short film told the story of these two kids, Layla and Ali, and their journey, you know, fleeing Syria and coming to this camp. But the hook of the story is about a soccer program in the camp. Mm-hmm. And it's about the joy these kids have while they're playing soccer. You know, I got to share this film with youth from all over the Bay Area at the Mill Valley Film Festival. And it was so cool to hear all these kids who are the same age as Layla and Ali talk about how they love soccer too.
Yeah.
So I'm always looking for those access points that even if it is a really challenging story, that there's that glimmer of light that makes it approachable, that goes from sympathy to empathy. So that people want to invest in solutions to making change. Because I think, you know, you and I talked about this when we were in China. The reason we were in China is to think about how can our stories have impact.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautifully said, man. Thank you. That was really solid. Okay. So this, another reason why I launched Say It Loud, aside from hearing stories about how we got there, is to really instill messages right now that people have more time to themselves because of this virus. They are spending time in this quarantine. They might be exploring themselves or just really in the space of transformation. So as a storyteller, as someone who works with people individualistically on their persona, their character, you know, what would be a message that you would want to send out there to maybe someone wanting to tap into this type of work or just around storytelling itself?
Yeah, I would say that right now is a great moment. Like you said, like we're alone a lot of the time, we're isolated. And I think developing that self-awareness, like now is an amazing time to spend that time with yourself and developing the self-awareness. I think if for those people who are interested in becoming better storytellers, now is a great time to tell stories around your home. You know, one of the things that I think makes an amazing storyteller, and every time I hear like an episode of like This American Life or, you know, some of just like these world-class storytellers, I truly believe that they can tell a story about just like getting up in the morning and walking to the kitchen and I'm in. I'm like all in on this story. Like if you can tell a story about some of the mundane things that like that you might be going through right now, mm-hmm. when you're covering wildfires or something, like it's gonna be, you're gonna have such a deeper skill set. And also one of the things that I've learned, Raul, on my podcast where I've interviewed amazing storytellers, and I've asked them, the last question I always ask on that show is, what advice do you have for people who want to become better storytellers? Two of the things that come up the most. One is to actually read, watch, listen to amazing stories. So everyone has that ability right now, if you have more time, to like spend time like actually consuming good stories and actually breaking them down. How do these stories work? Yeah. And then the other thing is put on this, I kind of call it like a lens or these glasses where you're looking for stories in the world. The people who are amazing storytellers, it's like they walk through the world and the world like shimmers, it glistens. Yes. Because they're looking at that stranger passing them on the sidewalk and thinking, oh, like, you know, I wonder what, you know, if he got that dog 5 years ago, if he spends all his time with that dog, or you're kind of thinking about stories. So if you can walk through your home or your surroundings where you are every day and try to notice, take a photo of something that just caught your eye for the first time, challenge yourself to see the surroundings that you're immersed in for months on end right now in a new light. That's going to develop a storytelling skill that's priceless.
That's great. That's really solid. Another thing that really highlights for me is the importance of our own stories. You know, everyone has a story to tell. Everyone is living their story right now. And we all also have the ability, especially if we're sharing the space with someone right now during quarantine that we have on ourselves, to talk about that, to share those things. To me, storytelling is one of the most powerful ways to bridge gaps. It's one of the most powerful ways to feel heard, feel understood, because we are felt, right? It's not just articulating about what something occurred, but how our journey was in that situation, in that story, that has people really empathize and connect with us on a whole nother level. And we all have that ability.
Absolutely.
And I think if storytelling is such a powerful tool to start bridging that gap, breaking down barriers, whether that be with your own spouse, with a partner, okay, with your kid, with your parents, and especially those that the stories that really need to be told so that we can bring more healing into the world.
Totally.
That's really solid.
And when we talked yesterday, you talked about, you know, one of the reasons you want to start the show is to give people a little opportunity to give backstory on how they got to where they are, tell their own story. And I think for, you know, we both do some commercial and client work, like for a lot of people who own businesses right now that may be struggling, maybe they're not, you know, have as much sales or business coming in, now can be an amazing time to share those stories. Maybe you work at a restaurant and you have some extra time where you're not filling orders. Maybe you go around and say like, hey, just want to show, you know, this can be, use social media as a place to tell those stories and tell the story about why you started this restaurant. Tell the story about your favorite dish. So like, I think there's a lot of opportunities, not just, you know, around your home and the personal, but this can also be a time for telling stories about your business. And developing a connection with the people you want to help and serve down the line when all things open up.
Yeah. And especially as I tell my story or you say your story, I feel that more things about myself get revealed. Okay. In my ability to really share that, I articulate in a way that I might not have said before, or you say something like, yes, that exactly right. It. And that, again, that's another powerful tool of storytelling. When I work with my clients, it's really all about that. It's really about, where did this start from? What's your why? What's your mission? Where do you want to get to? What did it take for you to get here? Who do you want to talk to? How do you want to talk to them? What story do you want them to tell? What do you want them to experience? This list of things that has me really get clear about, okay, what is this person's story that they have told so far and that they want to tell? Mm. And how do we tell that? You know, how do we make that happen?
Absolutely.
Really love that, man. So, for everyone listening, this is an amazing time to just play around, have some fun, tell some stories, share some stories with your community, your people. Try it out, you know, just try it out. If you have kids, if you have a parent or whatever it is that you want to share something with, you know, explore it as a possible tool that you could apply professionally or personally. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So Austin, where can people follow your work, see what projects you've been up to, and stay tuned to what you have coming next?
So I'm pretty active on social media. I'm at Austin Meyer Films on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok. And I have a podcast called the Austin Meyer Podcast. And my website's austinmeyerfilms.com. So I'm all out there and I love to hear from people. I love to, I'd love to love to hear from you if anything resonated from today's conversation, and say hello. I'm always looking to connect with other people who are passionate out there. So
beautiful. Yeah. So for everyone listening, again, storytelling is not for the sake of telling stories. Follow his page, follow his work. It all has messages ingrained into it and it's just beautifully done. So tune in, get in contact. If you guys feel called to tell your story, I'm sure this man will give you a challenge on the stories. Cause I know on social media right now, he's been doing this thing about like 10 photos a day with what you have going on. So
that's right.
Constantly a space of storytelling, and this man really knows how to apply it. So make sure to guys follow and stay tuned.
Thank you so much, man.
All right, guys. So for everyone tuning in, again, follow his work. Check out the amazing stuff and amazing stories being told near and far. Just Say It Loud is all about really putting the blowhorn on people and sharing their stories and getting to feel what it's like. And Live Loud is really all about making that happen in its own creative way. So people, tune in to more episodes of Say It Loud coming very soon. And Austin, thanks again, man.
Really, thank you. Presence, appreciate you, man. Thank you.
All right, guys, stay tuned. Much love.
That's it for episode 39 of the Austin Meyer podcast. Thank you so much to Raul Espinoza for inviting me on the Say It Loud show. I had a super fun time having that conversation. And a big shout out to you for listening. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed that. If there was anything that you found interesting or you enjoyed, please feel free to reach out to me at Austin Meyer Films across social media. I would love to connect and hear what you thought. Or if you're having some similar feelings that I expressed in that podcast, or maybe you have differing opinions on something, I also love to hear that. So reach out to me at Austin Meyer Films. I got a bunch of things lined up for this podcast in the coming weeks. I'm putting out photography every single day all over social media with my quarantine challenge called the hashtag 10 Shutter Club, which is to put out 10 photos every single day on social media that you shot the previous day. It's been a great way for me to stay sharp and practice my skills during quarantine, and it's forcing me really to see my home and my hometown community in a new way. So I'm posting all that stuff over there if you want to check it out. And I think that's about it for me. I hope you are doing well. Take care, and I will see you on the next episode of the Austin Meyer podcast. Go out and tell some stories.